Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest on the podcast. This is a longtime friend and business partner. We met years and years ago, worked on lots of projects together. And today, my friend Liz Saunders is here to talk about how to quit your job.
Yes. You know, there are certain things that you want to be known for and certain things that you just, you know, phrased just the right way. You don't maybe want to be known for. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's funny because we've actually recorded this before. Once. And we're now re-recording it for because of some audio issues. But in the previous recording, I called Liz a professional job quitter.
Right.
Because Liz has quit many jobs in the past. But I thought it would be interesting and helpful for you guys. I know a lot of people listen to this podcast are in a position where they would like to quit their job. And recently, Liz quit a very good job to work on her new project. So we're just going to talk about some of the practical things that you need to think about before you quit your job. One of the biggest questions Steve and I always get is, I've started this business. I'm selling on Amazon or I've, you know, creating t-shirts, something like that. You know, you have some side business. It's generating a decent amount of money. Do I quit my job? Like, when's the right time? And so today we're going to talk through how to kind of figure out when the right time is for you. So thanks for being here.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
So let's talk about the job you just quit.
Yeah. So I had my dream job,
yes,
right?
You did.
Which is hilarious because it's like the best job I've ever had. And I loved it. And I loved the people that I work with. And, you know, that also kind of makes it, it's kind of like when we're coaching our teens and we're like, you know, it doesn't have, nothing has to be wrong in order for you to not continue dating that person, right? Yeah. Like it can just be a different season. They can just not be your person. And I think so often we get kind of caught in that, like, there's a perfect answer about my career or a perfect time or those sorts of things. And like, I've gotten a couple people that have reached out and been like, what happened? And I'm like, nope, nothing like that. I took a step because I have a business that I want to go like make happen. But the ambivalence was, like, do I step away from a job that I adore and a team that I love working with to go try this and be by myself all the time, which as a total extrovert does take a little bit of thought around, like, well, I'm going to sit by myself all day. And thankfully I talked to a lot of people just as part of it, but it is that kind of like nuanced thought process around like, yeah, so I had my dream job. I loved working at Jungle Scout. I was there for 6 years as the chief of staff and learned more in 6 years at a startup than I think I could have learned probably anywhere else in 6 years. And so like walking through that though, and watching the company go from 40 people to almost 300 people and all of that, like I just kind of like collected information and experiences. And, you know, I had the, I could never be an accountant, no, love to all of the people who handle all of the numbers, but like I could never show up and do the same thing every day. It's a pretty unique position where like I had seasonal projects, but like if something didn't have a natural home or they wanted to try something or it needed cross business unit function, you know, coordination, like that ended up on my plate. Or like day in, day out was, you know, consistent, but like month to month, I may be involved in totally different things. And so that's the job that I just
wow. Well, I think you bring up a good point is that there are a lot of people who don't like their job.
Yes.
And that's fair because there are some jobs out there where maybe you don't have a great boss, yeah, or, you know, you're commuting an hour and a half or, you know, there's lots of reasons why people are unhappy in their job. Or maybe you're just not working in your like area, you know, your zone of perfection or your zone of genius. And so there's lots of reasons, but also it's okay to leave a job you like if you feel like created something better. And I think that's important to remember. It's also important to remember that every job that you have, no matter how much you like it or not, you're learning and you're growing as a business person, as a business owner, even if your job has absolutely nothing to do with what you want to move into. I think about this a lot because I've never had a real job. I joke about it. I've never had a real job. But I've done lots of side hustles, especially when my kids were little. I didn't want to work full time. And I think about one of the jobs I had was Sunday school coordinator. Like it was actually a paid position. It wasn't, you know, I didn't just volunteer on Sunday mornings. And I had to manage parents. I had to manage curriculum and I had to manage 3-year-olds, right? And when I look back on that time, like that really set me up well for like event running,
right?
Because you're trying to do all these different things at once. And like managing 3-year-olds is really difficult. Managing parents of 3-year-olds is really difficult. You know, making curriculum decisions, things like that. Like all those things I look back and I'm like, you know, even though back then it just felt like, hey, this is a little extra money every month. I was like, yeah, that really prepared me for the life of events that I live now, because I'm used to managing multiple people with multiple expectations and trying to make them all happy, which is not always easy. So no matter what job you're in, there's an opportunity to learn. Doesn't matter what you're doing. So let's talk about timeline.
Yeah.
Because you left Jungle Scout about, oh my gosh, 6 months ago, almost like 5 months ago now.
Yeah. Like,
but let's talk your timeline of you had an idea, you started to execute to quitting. Like what was the timeline before, you know, you had that conversation where you're like, it's time for me to move on?
Yeah. So there are kind of like two storylines that exist in parallel here. One is that I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? And so like I've done stuff in the past. You and I have known each other through many of my W-2s and 1099 seasons, right? So I've done all the things. So I've always wanted to go and like run my own thing. And the parallel storyline to this is I didn't intend to leave Jungle Scout when I started like down this path. I intended to do this as a straight side hustle because I had such a good gig that I enjoyed so much that I was like, man, this isn't the time, right? So, but we're in 2023 fall right now. And so like December of 21, a friend reached out to me and was like, hey, you love Amazon and all the ways that you can make money on Amazon. And was like, check out this new program, Amazon Influencer. And I was like, cool. So I joined and pretty quickly like got approved for on-site placement and then like started really digging in and was like, oh, like there's no tools. There's a lot of opportunity. There's almost no information like that's searchable on Google. Or if you can find it, it's kind of like you get a storefront. Like, well, that's, I mean, cool, but not inclusive of all the information that exists for this ecosystem. And so around like the tool became probably 5 months and I was like, oh, this needs to be an exception. Like the way you do product research on Amazon, regardless of how you're in the ecosystem, product research is your number one thing for like success. And so I was like, oh, I should build an extension for this. So that was like in late spring. And then I didn't hire the dev team until December of that year. So that was like, and then, yes. And then the extension went live 5 months ago. And then I was like, I told Greg, my boss, like I was doing this. Like we didn't have secrets. Right. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this quietly on the side, right? Like, I mean, he's known that I've always had some sort of side hustle. I like, you know.
Yeah. Well, you had a side hustle. Whenever Greg hired you, I was one of your side hustles. You were our event coordinator for Seller Summit. And I remember when we talked about you applying for Jungle Scout, and I knew what that job would entail for you because I had known Greg for a while. And my only thing to you was, I know you can get that. I know he's going to want you for the job. Like, I have no doubt that you will be hired for this position. Also, please put in your contract that you can still work Seller Summit.
And I did.
Yes, and he was very accommodating until you moved away.
Yeah.
That was my biggest fear. Like, I really want to be able to put in a good word for her with Greg, but also.
Yeah. Well, and I sent you the job description when he sent it to me, and you're like, so he wrote this for you and for your skill set and for like, this is the job that you need, right? I mean, it was very clear to all of us, like kind of immediately, but like, so I was having conversations with Greg about it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to build this extension, like, you know, no big deal. It'll be a side hustle, like sell it to influencers. And he was like, oh, cool, whatever. And then like, as it got closer, like I couldn't, and this sounds so funny, but like, I couldn't even like get to the launch before people were like, can I just pay you for this? Like, can I have it? Can you send it to me? Like, how do I get it? And then like, I was onboarding people at 7 o'clock in the morning. I was onboarding people at 10:30 at night. And I was like, oh, I think I need to go do this.
Yeah.
So like my intent from the beginning was kind of like, oh, I'm going to do another side hustle. And then it all kind of came together, like as this convergence of all of the right place, right time, building a tool that people really need and value. And also like having like a year under my belt in the program, a year at the time that the tool launched. Like, so in addition to the 7 years that I spent in the Amazon seller world. So it's just kind of like all happened very quickly at the end, but it was like building for a long time.
Yeah. So a few things to note. One, we are going to talk, and there's a part two to this, and we're going to talk all about the influencer program. If you guys are interested in that, everything you need to know will be in part two. But so you had an idea. You joined the influencer program. You started making videos, you know, working in the program, saw the need for the product, the tool. And then from like sort of realizing that to hiring a team took you about 6 months, which I would say is for most, that's very short. Like we have a lot of people that are stuck in analysis paralysis. I think you are a perfect example of like, sometimes you just jump. You did hire a team overseas, so that did mitigate some of your costs. Yep. And then from the time you hired the team into launch, that was 5 months. Yep. So also note, it is possible, and you were still working full time, and you have a family and everything else. Yep. So, and two very needy dogs, I will add.
They love Tony too. They have not left her alone.
But I will say for a lot of people, they sort of sit on their side hustle for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And there is something to be said about just, I'm going to take 7 a.m. phone calls. I'm going to do 10:30. And I don't think that's healthy long term.
Yeah.
And I remember Steve, when I met him and he asked me to be on the podcast, he still was working full time. My podcast interview with him was at 7 a.m. his time. So, you know, for me, it was a normal 10 a.m., but he was doing podcast interviews before and after work, during his lunch break, things like that. So I think that there are a lot of people want their own thing. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, you don't have to be the smartest person. You don't have to be the most creative person. Yeah. You need a good idea, mm-hmm. and you need to do it. Yeah. Like that's what separates successful and unsuccessful people. Successful people do it. That's the only difference. Like, you and I have met a lot of successful people that I don't want to say they're dumb. They're not dumb.
No.
But I was like, huh, okay. You and I have met a lot of people who haven't gotten to that launch point who are brilliant, and we just want to shove them off the cliff. Yeah. It's very hard to deal with those feelings that we have, because we're like, you're brilliant. Your idea is amazing. You just have to do it. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid to quit your job. Stop being afraid to lose your paycheck. But let's talk about losing a paycheck, because that's obviously, you got to eat.
Yep.
You weren't making enough money as an Amazon influencer at that point to replace Jungle Scout's salary. Although it's possible, and we talk about that in the next episode. You weren't at that level yet. So how did you sort of negotiate that part of it? Because that's the main, I mean, most people are like, if I was independently wealthy, sure, I'd quit my job.
Well, I'm very fortunate, right? So like, I had two pieces, the one more major than the other, but the major one is, right, that my husband works, mm-hmm. and I have that solid base. And so he and I sat down and like talked it through. And I was like, I think that I need to go do this. Like, let's talk through what that looks like for our finances. And the thing that we did is we time boxed it. So we set up a specific amount of time that we were willing to ride the roller coaster of me not having a steady paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set that at like the 18 month mark, which
I think is way too short, but that's my personal opinion.
and like, I just know like that's part of my personality, right? Like part of being able to like take this path is knowing your personality.
Right.
Like, so I'm the person who can like step off the ledge, and I don't have that like innate need to always have the same paycheck or those sorts of things. We've done that for years, right? And that works for me. So if you're the person that needs to save 6 months worth of money, like, know that about yourself. Yeah. What you don't want to do is quit and not sleep.
Correct. Because then you can't get any work done.
Exactly. That's just a perpetual cycle of defeat, right? But the other thing was, is on my way out of Jungle Scout, I was still doing contract work.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't a lot, right? Like, I was doing basically like 5 hours a week, you know, having been there for so long and having so many balls in the air, like there were projects that made sense for me to hold a little bit longer for the transition. And that also worked for me, right? So it wasn't my paycheck, but it was some money.
Kept the lights on.
It was some money for, you know, the first couple months, so that it wasn't, you know, paycheck to zero, you know, like there was still something coming in. So those were a couple of things, but also like the time boxing helps. Like, I know that there, I don't want to say this, but like, there's only so much damage I can do in that amount of time. Like, we budgeted ourselves pretty strictly. Yeah. Like, you know, we have all of that kind of in mind and working the plan. But it also like keeps the panic down. Like it's not like, oh, if I can't make this work, that I have to do this forever also, right? Like tomorrow, like if I just got to the point where I was like, oh, well, I can do something with this and then go get another W-2 or go do something, you know what I mean? Like but again, that's part of my personality. I'm good with that.
But I will say, I mean, you do have, your husband does work, but you did basically cut your income in half to do this. So I think, you know, for people who don't have that second income, you know, you probably do need to save up some months of salary, cut your expenses, right? Like, I feel like most people have a lot of expenses in their life that they can cut. You know, maybe you stay a little longer doing the 7 a.m.s and the 10 p.m.s, right? To sort of mitigate some of the risk financially. And then also, like, you had some very strong indicators that this product was going to be successful. The fact that before launch, people were asking you for it. And since launch, you've done very well. It's not, you know, it's not like that was just a fluke. But I think the signs are usually there for people. But I think as humans and as most people who struggle with this, it's like I see people who like do something, make sales. In fact, there's a student in Profitable Audience who has a amazing business idea. And she's like, well, you know, it's like you make excuses, you're not making excuses for yourself, but you're like, instead of acknowledging that your success is due to filling a need in the marketplace, you call it luck, which I think luck always plays a part in everything.
Sure.
But it's like, oh, but it's a fluke. It's a this. It's like, no, people are begging you for this, you know? So at that point, it's time to start thinking about the transition.
Correct.
The other thing that I think was really good that you did, and lots of people, I don't think that they can do this, is to work part-time.
Right.
You know, if you're a valuable asset to where you work, they will be happy to keep you for 20 hours a week or, you know, flex days, right? Or on contract for consulting. You know, I think that's something that people think like, well, if I'm not working here 40 hours a week, I can't work here at all. If you're valuable to the team, they will accept, they'll accept whatever they can get from you. Yeah. I'm sure if you had told Greg, like, hey, I'd like to do this, he'd be like, absolutely. As long as you want, let's go. But I also think it's good that you gave yourself a time to do the consulting. So it just puts a little pressure on you. And then the time, I think 18 months is really short for like, because you're 18 months to profitability. Is that the goal here for you, or to replace your salary at Jungle Scout?
Replace my salary.
That's very aggressive.
I mean, I'm pretty spoiled. I'm already profitable. Like, you know, so I do have like a little, like I'm currently choosing to reinvest money coming in back into the product. So it is, and you know, I may get to 18 months and look at you and laugh and just be like, well, didn't hit that one. But if I have something there that like sustains like our overall financial plan as a family, like I can still kind of like lean into that and know that like maybe it's not what I left and maybe it's enough.
Yeah.
But that's the goal.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like the 18 months is a great milestone for you. And also at 18 months, if you're like 20% away from that, or it's not like you're like, well, no, 18 months. Let me put my application in at Walmart.
Yeah, and exactly.
Like, you know, 18 months is a good period of time to go, okay, tracking the right way.
Yeah.
Like this is definitely, you know, we're acquiring customers every month. We're retaining customers. That gives you time to retain customers too. Right. So anyway, yeah, I think that's really important. The other thing that I want you to talk a little bit more about is the mindset.
Yeah.
Like you've said, you touched on like, you're the type of person that, and I know this about you, you are probably an anomaly in that most people need a little more security. So how did you figure that out about yourself? Was it just like out of necessity, or if someone's listening and going, I don't know what I am, like, how would they figure that out?
Well, that's actually a pretty interesting question. I mean, I came from, let's call it like 15 to 20 years ago, like in that 5-year period of basically like living with no money.
Right.
Like we were below the poverty line. Like my kids were all born on Medicaid you know, medical coverage, and we had WIC and like all of those things, right? Like I had at one point $50 for gas groceries for me and three kids for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So like, did that, the weird thing is like, it didn't terrify. Clearly things have turned out fine, right? Yeah. I mean, like the kids are like, there's nothing to eat. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, so, I mean, but that didn't terrify me. And I just kind of knew that we were going to make it and I was going to figure it out. And like, how did I know that about, or like, I don't know. Like the thing I will tell you is like, you do have to kind of lean into the season that you're in. So that was not my entrepreneurial season. Now for some people it is. For me, it was not. So at the time I was working a job and then I went and did my own thing for a little bit, but like, truthfully, I was looking around at my peers and like, I couldn't figure out why I couldn't make a business work in mm-hmm. that time frame, right? And so I gave up, right, is what it felt like. And I took a W-2 and now it turned into this amazing job. And I loved Jungle Scout like from before I even worked there. But like for the first, I don't know, 1 year at least of working at Jungle Scout, I felt like I had failed. Like, I know, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
It was such a wildly amazing opportunity for me.
Yeah.
But like, because in that season, I was the solo breadwinner.
Yeah.
I had three little kids and I couldn't figure out, like, I could sit down with you and our group of mastermind friends and think through like email sequences for my business that I was currently running.
Yeah.
And like, I couldn't get it going.
Yeah.
So like acknowledging that, I know that about my personality. Also, I've had to adjust for different seasons,
right,
for how I make a living. And I have had like not a straight path
for sure.
And some random things, yeah, you know, but all of it's led me here.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of grace for yourself when you're not in the place.
Yeah.
And some self-awareness, the mindset of knowing like, oh, now that I have like this stability, whether it's the savings or the idea or yeah, the partner income or whatever that looks like for you, that's when you like start pushing yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, this is just fear now.
Yeah.
Like whatever that solid base you need is.
Yeah. So this is an interesting, you got me thinking about this as you were saying those things. Sometimes, so I think there is something to be said about like jumping off and building the parachute on the way down. Yes. Right. I also think that can really hinder you. Correct. Because I think there's people like we heard this. There was one girl who was like, should I just drop out of college and do something? And I was like, do you know exactly what you want to do? Because no, if it's like, I just want to explore my options, it's like, well, just keep plugging along. Yeah. But I think it's like sometimes there is an advantage to building a business while you still are working your full time job, yeah, because there is a little bit of security there that I think gives you some space in your mind to be more creative. Yeah. And to do things. Whereas when you are, and I see this all the time, when you are in a position where like, I have to make this business work in 6 months, or we don't eat, or we lose our house, or I don't have a vehicle anymore, you try everything, right? And you're not able to give anything enough time to really be profitable or even like make a difference, right? Because it's too fast. And if you think about your timeline, you joined the Amazon Influencer Program in December of 2021. You have given yourself basically until December of 2024 to make a decision.
Right.
So that is 3 years total, yeah, of ideation, execution, sales, yeah, maintain.
Correct.
And that's a long runway, right? So, but can you imagine if you were like in December 2021, I have to create a tool. It has to be profitable or we lose our house in 6 months.
Correct. And that's exactly it. Right. Cause like in that season, the pressure was, I mean, if I fail, my kids don't eat,
right,
like was the legitimate risk.
Yeah.
And it was like, I just need a paycheck right now.
Yeah.
Whereas like right now it just frees up the mental load.
Yeah.
Whatever that stability is, where now it's like, okay, I have this set up in, yeah, a way that like, if this doesn't work,
right,
my kids still eat.
Yes.
You know, like I still eat. Like, you know, we don't lose the house. Like all of those pressures though, like if you can, they're never all gonna go away, right?
Because
the truth of the matter is, like, for sure I can tank all of it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
Terrible situation. also going in with your eyes wide open of how much risk you're willing to take, how much you're investing, all of those things, and then trusting the plan.
Yeah.
But I have the freedom to trust the plan right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think, oh, you know, entrepreneurship is so risky, but nobody's job is not risky. Correct. You could just as easily be let go, downsized. I mean, who was it that just laid off one of the big companies laid off thousands and thousands of people. So it's like, obviously we have a mindset that like, oh, if I go in and punch my time card every day, nothing's ever going to happen to me. Well, all of a sudden all the branches of the bank close, right, and you don't have your loan officer job anymore. So I don't think anything is as secure as we think it is. And I don't think anything is quite as risky as sometimes we think it is as well.
Yeah. I think also sometimes we try. So kind of to your point, like if in December 21, I was like, oh, by January 31st, I have to be profitable. I have to have the tool. I have to have all my email sequences built out. Yeah. Right. Like sometimes at the beginning of any journey, we're already consumed with what we have to do to make all of the things happen, which is where, like, I know I personally get overwhelmed when I get into that, like, paralysis. I'm like, oh, nope, I'm too far down the road. Because really what I need to do is the next thing,
yeah,
not everything.
Yeah.
You know, and that, like, I do think when you're contemplating, mm-hmm, how to quit, when to quit, what your transition looks like really you need a plan.
Yeah.
Also, you need to be not consumed with everything that gets you to the totality of the plan,
right?
Like the completion of, like, you've replaced all of your income, all of your systems are up and running, you have a website, you have a team, whatever that end point of, like, I've made it, the business is what it is, like, that's not where you start. And so you have to, like, just take those steps to get there.
So while we wrap up part one, I think the final step in, like, quitting is, you know, how did you approach the conversation with Greg? I know obviously he was aware of what you were doing, so this wasn't like a big shock. Well, it might have been. I'm not going to put feelings in Greg's head, but it wasn't as if he had no idea what was happening. And then one day you walked in and were like, hey, I built this amazing tool. I've already pre-sold 47 subscriptions and goodbye. Peace out. Have fun on your vacation. Like, when, you know, you decided at some point that you needed to do this full time. How far in advance did you talk to him? Like, how do you manage that? Because to me, that's like the most anxiety ridden conversation, even if you have a great relationship with the person that you work for or work with, your whatever it is.
Yeah. I think it's been really interesting over this last couple of years to kind of watch healthy career transitions. Mm-hmm. And so I've had that kind of like privilege to watch other people go before me, leave with like the executive team's blessing and excitement and everything else. And so some of that like kind of took the edge off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And knowing that like I've been here for 6 years, like there is some level of like, we're all humans and they know me. They like, we have a great team. So, you know, but when I went to Greg, the conversation was kind of like, I think I need to go do this. And he was like, yep. I mean, it was like, and I joked with him. I was like, I'm really glad that you're respecting my decision and ambivalently, you're not fighting for me. he started laughing. He's like, no, because he's like, because I respect your decision, right? Like, we've been talking about it for so long that it was like, when the time came for the decision to be made and to have that actual conversation, I approached it more as like, I'd like to start this conversation about what it looks like for me to transition out.
Yeah.
So I didn't go and say, this is my 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I said, let's work on this together and figure out what it looks like for me to transition out. And he was like, okay, let's start this process. And we then each took 2 weeks to like plow through everything on each of our plates that would need to be addressed for that. And then we came back. Like, so I went with a flexible timeline.
Yeah.
And then we put together the plan. And then, you know, like, yeah, so we just kind of like worked through it together. And, you know, he's known since he met me. Like when he met me, I was running my own business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, he was like, this makes total sense to me. Like, you want to go run your own thing? I get it. Like, and he's one of my biggest cheerleaders. Like,
yeah.
So
it's funny because it's like, Like you want him to say like, yes, absolutely, go do this, because that means he believes in what you're doing. But also you want him to be like, don't leave me, I can't live without you. It's like he's an absolute no-win situation. Like no matter what he says, you're mad about the other. No, you're not mad, but like it's like that's that terrible like feeling of like, oh, no matter what I say.
No, there's no, yeah. And he and I are close enough that like I can joke with him about it and he laughs and you know. But and like since then he's been like made different comments where he's like, missed you at that, you know. Like, you know, so it does all come around. And I mean, let's call it what it is. Like I came out of a really good situation in the most positive way with the best possible outcomes. Yeah. Like it was a huge win.
Well, and I think part of that speaks to being open and honest about things. And not everybody has a position where they can do that. And sometimes you have to keep everything under wraps and give your 2-week notice and leave on as best terms as you possibly can. But if you are in a position where you have some flexibility with the people that you work with, I think being open and honest sometimes can be the best thing. I mean, like if you think about when Steve quit his engineering job, you know, he went down to 3 days a week, then 2 days a week. And I think they were finally like, are you actually working anymore? Like, it's probably time. You know, I think there are situations where you can be very open with the people that you work with. Other times it is keep your side hustle to yourself, work quietly, get it done. And then when it comes to the point where you're comfortable leaving, get out.
Yeah. And I think that's really it, right? Is like, you have to be aware of your situation, you know, and it does come down to like personally walking that path in the best way that works for you. I do think also like, and not getting consumed by, is there a right answer?
Yeah.
Right? There just isn't. And I think so many of us are consumed by finding the answer. And there's just not. You're going to like fumble your way through it. You're probably going to mess some of it up and you're going to like, you know, stand back up and keep going. But even in those like hard conversations, but you're doing like the best you can with the information you have at the time and making those decisions as you go. And you just pivot and learn.
Yeah. Well, next week we will be back with part 2, where you get to hear about all about this new business that Liz has launched and how you can actually be a part of it for free.
That's the craziest thing. Like,
I mean, we've done a podcast before about the Amazon influencer program when I got into it, and I was so excited. I'm still very excited about it. No, my excitement has not changed. And the more I'm in it, the more I'm like, this is crazy. How, you know, this feels like old school blogging where like everything you did made you money. So anyways, excited to talk about that next week, because Liz's new business has 3 components to it. And so we'll talk about all 3, and we'll be back in a week for the rest of it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.